Please stand for the reading of the Gospel. Gospel according to Matthew chapter 17, verses 1 through 9. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. Just then there appeared before them Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, a bright cloud covered them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell face down to the ground, terrified. But Jesus came and touched them. "Get up," he said, "don't be afraid." When they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus instructed them, "Don't tell anyone what you have seen until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." Thank you, Lord, for the reading of your holy word. And this is the word of God for the children of God. Please be seated. Napoleon was invading Russia, enduring some of the heaviest fighting in the city. Somehow Napoleon got separated from his guards, and the Russian Cossacks were chasing him, and he was running through the street, afraid for his life, looking for some place to hide, and the Russian Cossacks were hot on his tail. Napoleon ran around a corner, and he ducked into a furrier's store. As he ran in there, he saw the old man and he said, "Quick, hide me." And the furrier grabbed him and told him to get underneath this pile of furs laying on the floor. And so he did, and the furrier quickly threw even more furs on top of that. Moments later, the Russian Cossacks burst into the shop. "Where is he?" they demanded. And the furrier said, "I have no idea who you're talking about." And the Russian Cossacks turned the place upside down, looking everywhere. And they even stuck their swords into everything, including a pile of furs. Soon they gave up and they left. Moments later, Napoleon came out from underneath that pile of furs unharmed. And it wasn't long after that that Napoleon's guards showed up. As he was about to leave, the old man said to Napoleon, "Can I ask you a question? I know you're a great man and you're busy." Napoleon said, "Sure, go ahead, you can ask me." And the furrier said, "What was it like when you were laying underneath of those furs, knowing that at any moment you could die?" Napoleon looked at him all indignant and said, "How dare you ask the Emperor Napoleon such a question? Guards, bind him up, blindfold him, and take him outside and execute him." And so the guards blindfolded him and dragged him outside, put him up against the wall, where the old man couldn't see a thing. But he could hear the officer barking orders to the soldiers. He could hear them lining up in front of him. And he heard the officers say, "Ready?" And he heard the cocking of the muzzles, the muzzle loaders. "Aim!" And tears began to run down the old man's face. And now suddenly his blindfold was ripped off, and Napoleon stood there and said, "Now you have the answer to your question." He said, "I couldn't tell you. You had to experience it for yourself." How can I tell you what the transfiguration of Jesus Christ was like on that mountain? What we read is what the disciples saw, Peter, James, and John. They saw something that they couldn't put into mere words. It was so extraordinary. It went against the laws of nature. It was so fantastic that Jesus told them, "Don't tell anybody until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead, because nobody's going to believe you. But when the Son of Man's raised from the dead, they'll believe anything, because that'll be such a huge miracle. But for now, don't tell anyone." But Peter, James, and John were some of the strongest disciples because they were transfigured themselves by what they beheld. It just changed their lives forever. Hard to describe something like that. Whenever I give my testimony about my ear, how many people here do not know what happened to my ear? How many people here don't know what happened to it? Okay. Well, I'm not going to tell you today. I'm going to spare everybody else. But I got to tell you, yesterday when I was doing Alan and Anna's wedding, we were down front here, gathered here, and there was some people in both of these rows here, you know, and we were waiting for this one couple. And so I'm just running off at the mouth, telling them all about, you know, my call to ministry and me and Bonnie and the kids and the tough times we went through, and what the kids are doing now is all ministers. And I said, boy, I don't know what else to say. And they said, oh, go on, we're enjoying this, you know. I said, I could tell you about my ear, but that takes a while. And they said, we got time. And I said, okay. I said, when I'm done telling you about my ear, then we'll go ahead and start the ceremony. And the couple didn't show up, and we did have the ceremony. It was a lot of fun. Real praise the Lord. But whenever I tell that story, for those of you who have heard it, what's the one thing that seems to always get everybody's attention that really blows them away? It was the fact that I didn't know, and the doctor found it later, that when the rifle went off, the bullet went through my coat, cut my chest, and went through my ear. That's what amazes everybody. But you know what? Any idiot could do that. Any idiot can forget that his gun should have been at half cock. He could have been stupid enough to hold on to it like I did instead of laying it down. Momentary lapse in judgment almost cost me my life. But that is what amazes people. It was really close. I don't get it, though. To me, what's so amazing was the fact that somebody talked to me. Somebody that didn't have a physical body. That there was an actual voice from where Peggy's sitting at to where I'm at. And I'm laying in the snow. And this voice from behind me that far says, you get up and you get out of here and you don't quit fighting until you can't put one foot in front of the other. And the proof that that happened is the fact that when I got up, I was turning around to see who it was that said that to me. And then that voice was in my head and said, take your hanky out, make a compress, apply pressure to the wound. Nothing here is important. Call your buddies' names, get out and get help. Was the last I heard that voice. That transfigured me, that moment in my life, because it anchored my faith in such a way that I know that the things that I see and behold, they're just temporary. They're not a real part they are real, but they're just a small part of the reality of all eternity. That there are angels, that there is a God, that there is a heaven, that the Bible is real. It transfigured me to hear somebody talk to me that was not physically there. But how can I convince you? I mean, you have to experience that for yourself before you really, really know what it's like. See, once upon a time, there was a man who was born with a horrible disfigurement. His face was just horribly misformed. It was like Brian's. I mean, but the man looked so bad from birth. People ridiculed him, made fun of him all his life. They picked on him all the time. And when the fella finally became a young man and was able to live on his own, he decided to leave, go someplace else and live because he'd had enough. And as he was journeying to another town, he found something. He found a mask. And this mask was absolutely handsome. And he tried it on and it fit. It didn't feel very comfortable. But it fit so well that people couldn't even tell he was wearing a mask. So he left it on. And he went into this new town and he got situated. And people just loved him and accepted him. And he was able to live a new life. Well, he even met a woman that he fell in love with. Things were going pretty good. And then one day, some lady came into town from where he was born. She recognized his name. And she called everybody together and she says, "I want you to take off your mask. I want you to hide. I want you to show what you've been hiding all these years. Be honest with these people. Show them what you look like." And so he peeled off the mask. And when he took off the mask, his face underneath was just as handsome as that mask. He had conformed to the mask that he had worn so long. It may be uncomfortable to follow Jesus. It may be hard to volunteer, to make sacrifices of your time and even of your family, to give until it hurts when you've got so many other things that need to be paid for. It may be uncomfortable to be friendly and loving to people that you just don't like, that rub you the wrong way. It may be hard to turn the other cheek. It may be hard to study the Bible, to go to Bible studies, to hang out with some other Christians. It may be hard for you to even sing. But the more you do it, the more you'll become like Jesus. Until one day, nobody will be able to tell a difference. Not easy at first, but the closer you walk with him, the more you'll become like him. And it tells us in Romans chapter 12 that we are to no longer conform to the pattern of this world, but that we are to be changed, transformed by the daily renewing of our minds, by spending time with Jesus. That's how we renew our minds. And we will be transfigured the more we hang out in his presence. We will be transfigured into his likeness. And it also, the Bible tells us that in Luke chapter 6, verse 45, that the good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. We are what we eat, physically and spiritually. And again, the more we hang out with Jesus, the more we become like him. If we hang out with bad people and evil people, that's the evil that we store up in our hearts. If we take in evil stuff, evil comes out. If we take in good stuff comes out. If we wear the mask, even if it's uncomfortable, and we act like Jesus, talk like Jesus, walk like Jesus, we will become Jesus. And then we will experience the transfiguration for ourselves. The choice is ours. It may not be easy at first, but the more we walk with him, the more we become like him. God loves you, and so do I.